Okay, so this is something we talk a lot about and get asked a ton about, and it is super topical with summer entertaining and summer travel. So today we're going to break down the topic of alcohol. Lauren and I love everything healthy, but we also do love to have fun if you know us in real life, and we don't think that you have to lock yourself inside alone to be healthy.
No, absolutely. Or like avoid plans that involve alcohol because you're worried about, you know, sort of ruining or breaking your healthy goals or things of that nature. There definitely are strategies involved, and you want to choose the right things to drink, look at how much you're drinking, and we'll give you a little bit of advice about that. And that way it can sort of fit into your healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And before we get started, we should definitely say, and we say this with all of our healthy happy hour talks, that the best amount to drink is zero. Mm-hmm. And that's the healthiest way to go. But, you know, we're not zeros.
Thanks, Lauren.
in life or with alcohol. And we don't think that you have to cut out the category entirely in order to be healthy.
Definitely not.
In terms of the best boozy bets or the best things to drink, clear spirits. So if you're somebody who tends to drink a little bit too quickly or has trouble controlling the number of drinks in a given night, spirits might be a better choice over wine because it might slow you down. So just, you know, sort of choosing a spirit is a better way to go. There's also something called congeners, which are produced when alcohol ferments. It's one of the reasons how you get a hangover.
And one of the reasons.
Drinking too much will also do it. But the congeners are removed with clear spirits. They're filtered out. So choosing vodka, choosing a Blanco tequila, my favorite, mezcal. You could choose gin if people still drink gin.
I do think that there's a martini crowd.
gin martini would slow me down because I like a vodka martini better. But so again, like our first tip in terms of your, you know, best bet would be to choose clear spirits. Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to go wine, because I do love my wine, we have a couple of little bit of rules too. And so when it comes to wine, dry is going to be synonymous with lower sugar. So for whites, that means Sauvignon Blanc and our Pinot Grigios. And it might be a little bit snobby to say, but cheaper wines are typically less fermented. And so they're going to have more residual sugar in them. So, you know, investing a little bit in your wine is definitely worthwhile. And from a rosé standpoint, because I know that that's the summer favorite too, rosé.
Although you told me recently, which is like shocking, that you're not such a rosé person.
I know. I don't. I love my white wine, to be honest. But rosé does have a little more sugar. And so going dry here too totally applies. So ask your server for, you know, more of a dry versus a sweet rosé if you're ordering. And then one note quickly on that's been on our radar recently is that pesticides are really, really heavily sprayed on wine grapes, and especially from California. So we're skipping California recently. And if wine is sort of your go-to on a daily or weekly basis, we definitely suggest skipping California wines and going a little more international.
I love the New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs are my favorite. And the whole wine industry in New Zealand is biodynamic. So it's a
safe bet.
Yeah, exactly. If you're looking at a list and you're clueless or wine clueless like I am from time to time. So how to order a drink. So let's say you're choosing that clear spirit we talked about. You can order it neat, which is no ice, on the rocks. You can add lemon, lime. You can add olives, a little bit of fresh mint. We sometimes love a little bit of kombucha if we're mixing things up at home. But you can add club soda, like vodka soda, I know is the sort of go-to for a lot of people. But sometimes it's better to just do it on the rocks because that potency can slow you down a little bit. And just in terms of quantity, be careful in a restaurant because waiters notoriously, well, I guess they're doing their job, but pour before you... finish drinking that first drink. So it's impossible, it drives me crazy. It's impossible to gauge how much you're actually drinking in a given night. So you can just, you know, sort of nicely ask them to let you finish before they pour some more.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we have what to skip. So in every single food and drink category, there's a little bit of a hierarchy. The best choices and also the less good choices or the worst choices. And so there are some alcohol skips or alcohol-related skips that you might not consider. And one that we see so often is tonic water. So I hear people come in all the time still drinking gin and tonics. And it's so funny to me because tonic water actually has the same sugar content as a soda, like as a Coca-Cola. Of course, everyone knows or most people know to skip the soda, but tonic has really gotten a pass. And I don't know if it's because it's clear or what. It doesn't really taste so sweet, but you really are still getting the same amount of sugar. So go for your club sodas, your seltzers, sparkling waters there. And then we have simple syrup. simple syrup, agave, sugar, or like cocktails, dirty little secrets. And they are rarely listed in the drink descriptions, but they definitely are in pretty much everything at bars. So don't feel weird or bad asking questions, and definitely feel free to order your drink without syrup or with really little sweetener. Like for margaritas, which are my personal favorite, they really only need three ingredients, which would be tequila, a little bit of fresh lime juice, and a teeny bit of orange liqueur. But most margaritas do use syrup or agave. So at a lot of restaurants in the city, you can actually, they call them skinny margaritas. We kind of despise that term, but that is something to look for.
And it just means that the agave or the simple syrup is removed. We just need a better, a better name for them. Yeah. Lauren's margarita. Lauren and Carolyn's food trainers margaritas.
Come to the Slayton's for a margarita. They're great.
We're not having them today though, because it's Monday. But another thing, just because it's so summery, we should point out is Campari. Campari in this country now, actually weirdly, in order to make it vegan, or one of the reasons, the red color is artificial dye. It used to actually, which sounds grosser, but is healthier, be made from beetles. But these red dyes are carcinogenic, associated with ADHD, and not a good choice. Again, if a Negroni or Campari and soda is your like go-to drink, if you have, you know, sort of one once in a blue moon, we won't tell anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in terms of how much to drink, this is such an interesting one. In initial sessions with clients, we always ask about alcohol consumption, of course. And then we have them track it for the week without necessarily changing too much. Let's just like get a feel for what's really going on here. And more often than not, clients come back in and say, it turns out I have way more to drink than I thought I did. So we cannot recommend enough without necessarily making any changes, just simply tracking your drinks for the week and see, are you actually skipping nights, or are you having drinks every single night, or are there certain friends who maybe you drink more around? It's really, really helpful to have that info and to have a baseline for yourself so you know. Like on a standard week, I'm having X number of drinks, and we'll talk that through a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, most people, unless they're super proactive or tracking their food, otherwise just have no idea really. Right. And it definitely adds up. And, you know, sort of on a similar note, sizing of drinks is a big issue. So, you know, a drink is like a wine is supposed to be 5 ounces, and 1.5 ounces of a spirit is considered sort of an alcohol serving. I mean, I make small drinks at home, portion controlled. And I use 2 ounces of tequila or mezcal. So 1.5 ounces is really not what most people are having. They're probably having double. And so what we suggest, if you're somebody who drinks wine at home, measure out your wine glass, and you could get, you know, sort of 7, 8, 9 ounces. It's not uncommon. Glasses are huge. Right. You want to tell the story of your dad?
My dad was told by his doctor to drink less. So that he could only have, I think it was 1 or 2 glasses of wine a night. So he went out and bought the biggest wine glasses he could find and stuck to his 2 glasses of wine a night without necessarily changing his quantity.
But that's not what we're
saying. No, not at all. But let's be real here. If you have a weight loss or wellness goal, you cannot have unlimited drinks. And it really depends what you're coming in for or what you're listening to this for. But for our youngins, our sort of my post-college crew, I always say single digits. I think that that's a pretty fair quantity to get started with. And eventually, if we're looking at the weight loss component, that's 4 drinks per week for women and 7 or less for men. The fewer the drinks, the better results you will get.
Yeah. And then in terms of, I think people are usually surprised how we burn off alcohol. So alcohol to our bodies is a toxin. It's our favorite toxin. But so if you, let's say, go out and have like a drink or two and then wake up the next morning and work out, hopefully, your body wants to get rid of that alcohol. So it'll burn those calories from your tequila or vodka or wine before it gets to any of your body fat. So if you're, you know, sort of putting a lot of effort into weight loss in particular, or your body composition, or want to be leaner and not seeing results, definitely do what Carolyn said and, you know, sort of track your alcohol for the week and look at that alcohol component. You can easily get in, you know, sort of a night, if not a week, you know, a day, an extra day's worth of calories, or the, you know, cancel out a couple of your workouts.
And sometimes it really is like, if you have a drink-free week, you can really see, or you'll see how much it affects your body. So I think that sometimes is a good challenge to really cut back.
100%. And the other thing is just, you know, for women in terms of hormones. So alcohol prevents your liver because it's processing the alcohol, from processing estrogen. So it can exacerbate, you know, sort of any hormonal symptoms, whether it's PMS or perimenopause or things of that nature. So if you're, you know, sort of having really bad cramps, sorry to go there, or hot flashes, or you're incredibly moody, again, look a little more closely at your alcohol.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we want to talk about what to do before you drink.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think, again, just having a plan in place for any of these categories is good. What you don't want to do is to drink on empty, because alcohol lowers your blood sugar and it also makes you feel like you have, you know, no cares in the world. So that combination can lead to, you know, sort of some super messy eating and over drinking. So a good way to give your blood sugar a little bit of support is to have some good fat, like an hour or even just half an hour before you drink. So that could be some nuts or nut butter. It could be a little bit of, you know, guac on chips. Just something to give your body a little bit of something before the alcohol comes in. And then once you're drinking, our rule is 1-to-1. So you order your drink, you order a water or a sparkling water before you're allowed a second drink. If you're having a second drink, you need to finish the water.
Yeah, absolutely. Hydrating helps big time. And then after drinking, if later, you know, late night is a thing for you, I still hear this a little bit. And a lot of times we age out of it, but some people do you know, go home after a nice dinner and go for like a sweet too. So set this up ahead of time. Think through.
What do you call them?
Drunchies, drunk munchies. Drunk snacks. But you don't want to end up diving headfirst into those potato chips or fries or whatever, you know, kids' food is left around. You want to sort of map this out ahead of time. So if that's carrots and hummus or, you know, one of our like nuts or little mini chocolates that we have at our shop, it's really, really helpful to have that sorted out ahead of time. And then magnesium is actually lost at a crazy rate during drinking, and it's super important for sleep regulation too. So we recommend our chill pills or natural calm gummies to have before you go to bed. And one more note, actually, before you go to bed, about Advil and Tylenol. They are terrible for liver and stomach issues. So please, please, please avoid Advil and Tylenol. And instead, we want you to go for turmeric or curcumin supplements, which are incredible anti-inflammatories and really can help if there is a hangover in your future too.
Sort of like natural Advil or Tylenol.
Totally, yeah. And then, of course, there are a couple of foods to include for liver loving too. If we're talking about, like, you know, ways to support our liver around, you know, on a day-to-day basis, that would really be turmeric is a huge one, like I just mentioned, and then spinach, broccoli. And we have our everything pills in our shop, which are something called NAC, N-acetylcysteine. Did I get that right?
N-acetylcysteine.
So close. Never had to say that one out loud before. So that's why they call them our everything pills. And it basically helps, it acts like as a pretox for your liver. So it protects your liver before drinking. And really, really helpful. And we also have something called our Zizia liver tincture, which is milk, thistle, dandelion, and so much other good stuff that is a liver protectant as well. So if there is more summer, if there's more drinking in your summer future, we definitely suggest adding in those everything pills and Zizia.
Yeah. So I think it's one part drinking like the right amount and, you know, making the right choices with your drinks, but also just things you can do on a daily basis to sort of not undo, but support your liver, you know, which is getting, you know, treated unkindly by your cocktail.
Okay. So a question for you, Lauren, what are the drinking strategies that you actually use?
I think, again, for me, I divide my week in general, like for food also. I try to keep post-weekend or early in the week things cleaner. I try, you know, sort of in general, like even when I'm making plans with friends, not to go out on like Monday or Tuesday and not to drink. I keep it, you know, sort of treat free, lower carb. So for me, breaking my week up where there's like a couple of days that are, you know, no drinking zones and just, you know, cleaner eating, then, you know, sort of then there's a, you know, time and a place for cocktails. I'm somebody who I'm a Virgo, but like I like one and done works for me. You know, sort of times have changed since Tulane, yeah. But like I often make my drinks myself at home. So use really good spirits.
Yeah, follow along on her Instagram because she's the most beautiful drink photos and recipes.
A little bit of a hobby, but so I can savor a drink. You know, that's not a strategy that works for everyone. Some of our clients say like one isn't worth it to me. So for me, having a few days without, you know, at least two, 3 days without drinks, and then one drink on the remaining days tends to keep my total down. And the other thing is, you know, just, and I alluded to this, just really good ingredients, like, you know, sort of organic spirits when you can. And I, you know, using organic limes if you're mixing your own drinks. Again, these are things you can do at home. You know, out, not so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that naming my number really, really helps too. So for me, it's usually two drinks out, and to just be really clear on that and also not start drinking too early, because that ends up adding up for me. So to like actually name that number and be like intentional about it.
So you'll say like,
I'm going to have two drinks, or if I know it's like I'm going to something in the afternoon for happy hour, having like a drink there, and then maximum two, you know, if I have more than three drinks, I really
so have like a plan for like at each stop.
Exactly. Mapping it out and thinking it through. And then like Lauren said too, having a couple of drink free nights. I don't drink at home alone. Well, I don't have like a family at home. So you know, I don't consider my dog.
So she's just trying to make me not feel badly that I drink alone, because I love being alone.
But having a cocktail, yeah. I like to be out, I guess, and be social. Mm-hmm. So those ones are the ones that are more worthwhile for me. And then I'm good with just a kombucha if I'm home hanging.
Yeah. And you can see like, even with the two of us, we do, you know, a lot similarly when it comes to, you know, the foods that we suggest and the advice that we give to clients, but we each have slightly different approaches in terms of what we drink and, you know, how we budget it. So I think, you know, again, like we always say, like take the little tidbits that apply to you, whether it's, you know, sort of what you're drinking or not drinking on empty, or the one-to-one rule, or certainly I think, you know, just to be a healthy person, having a minimum of one, if not more, drink-free nights a week. And just, you know, sort of finding that happy Goldilocks place where you're not feeling poorly or it's getting in the way of your goals, but you're enjoying a drink here and there.
Yeah, absolutely. So tag us with any healthy cocktail making, show us what you got, and check out our shop for everything pills and that Zizia tincture, like we mentioned. Follow us. I have to do the plug.
Okay.
Follow us on this podcast, share the podcast.
And like us.
Like us, subscribe, do all the things that you can possibly do. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Cheers.
Cheers.